This is a Silver Bullet Security Podcast with Gary McGraw. I'm your host, Gary McGraw, CTO of Sigital and author of Software Security. This podcast series is co-sponsored by Sigital and IEEE Security and Privacy Magazine and syndicated by Search Security. For more, see www.computer.org/security and www.sigital.com/silverbullet. This is the 79th in a series of interviews with security gurus. And I'm pleased to have today with me, Per Olaf Persson. Hello, Peo.
Hey, nice to talk to you.
So Per Olaf is head of global software security operations at Sony Mobile. He is responsible for software security operations spanning Sweden, Japan, the US, China, and covering over 3,000 developers. Per Olaf worked previously for Ericsson and also Telia. Peo is a member of Sony's board of directors and a board member of the Swedish Association of Graduate Engineers. He lives in South Sweden near the water with his family. So thanks for joining us today.
That sounded terrific. Is that really me? I'm so pleased.
You've worked in many, many different roles throughout your career, from marketing to engineer to bid manager, whatever that is, to sales, to project management, and finally all the way to the board itself. So tell us how that all happened and what possessed you to take on software security at this point.
It's a long story, of course, but yes, I've always been in favor for new challenges. And as you Americans said, reinvent yourself. And I truly believe in that, that to get the sense and the grip of a company, even if it is a large one, you need to work in different positions. You have to have a lot of different insights to do a really good job. So I've actually tried to do this, tried to find new ways of doing things, finding and understanding from what is sales thinking about, what is legal thinking about, what is the developers doing, and why are we doing it, etc. So in earlier days, I was in sales. I couldn't really understand why we couldn't get the products when I wanted them with the functionality I thought it would be. And nowadays, when I went into soft security, I'm amazed that we can do products whatsoever due to the fact that all the restrictions we should have on them. So it's been a fascinating story, I can tell you.
So how'd you end up with software security, though? And I guess more importantly, what do all of these different roles that you've played through your career do to inform your view of security that others may not have?
I would say that I ended up in software security because the fact that we really weren't doing a good job here, and my management asked me to look into it, and it was a perfect fit because Sony Ericsson, as the company was named earlier on, and now Sony Mobile, did go all in for Android, so that is open software. So of course that shifted everything. Previously we had a closed operating system, very difficult to hack, and not that really fun to hack either, because low volumes. Today Android is number one in sales in cell phones, and in consumer electronics Android is, I guess, number one in everything. And as we did all in, we realized that I had to move fast, and someone needed to have a contact network through all the company, from legal, from buying people, to sales, to marketing, to developers. And yes, I had that contact network, so it was quite sure that to get this up and running fast, it was a nice choice for me. And when I was asked, yes, of course,
I think that's very important. A lot of people believe incorrectly that software security is only about technical activities. And though having good technical chops is absolutely important, being able to bring all the parts of a huge organization together and harmonize them in the name of product security turns out to be just as much a political job as it is a technical job, I'd say.
Yes, I completely agree with you, because normally or at least in old days, software security and any security was seen as the guy who wanted to stop everything or ban everything and possibly even locked in themselves into a strange building somewhere. And that is not the way how to do it in my world. In my world, we are working with the developers daily, talk to them, help them, explaining them to be their grandfather, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, have a really close relationship with legal and sourcing to see that the things that we do in paperwork with third party, with the suppliers, whatever the name you use, is set to be correctly and not overdone or not sloppy, to use that kind of word.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that's not easy, of course, because you don't want to be seen as a bully paper-wise either.
Right.
So, yes, the contact network is essential. And I would say that two-thirds of my day goes to synchronize anything except the developers. Well, the developers really understands quite fast if you have reasonable explanation to why you want to have things done in a specific way.
Mm-hmm. So that part becomes more straightforward in some sense.
Yes, because if you want developers to avoid certain programming functionalities because they lead to open holes or they lead to old well-known vulnerabilities, it's easy. Explain to them, this has happened before, it will happen if you do it like this. They understand it. But the other political ways are much more difficult to get because it's like a nuclear reactor misfortune. Will it happen? Well, not sure. How to estimate that? What is the cost? Oh, gee, it's expensive. Well, let's say it won't happen then.
Right.
And of course, it will happen. If you're reasoning like that, you can always be dead sure that the situation will blow in your face.
So let's talk about your software security initiative. You built one and evolved it over the last few years at Sony Mobile. And I want to focus on kind of four major areas. Measurement, and you can talk about the BSIM if you want. Tools, technical activities, and then political concerns, which we've sort of addressed. Let's take those on in order. So first would be, as an executive, how do you measure progress in software security and product security?
Yeah, this is really funny because when we started, we tried to read as much as we could on what to do, how to do it, and how to get on track as fast as possible. As I said, we had to move fast. So we read a lot, and we found this guy, Gary something. He's writing quite a lot.
Never heard of him.
Now you never heard of him. Now I'll introduce you to him someday. And we thought, this is quite interesting. We took down the BSIM documents. We read them back and forth. We read the Microsoft documents and said, this is really cool stuff. Some of it is maybe too much, but basically, this seems to be the idea. So we worked hard with that and said, what is the activities? And, well, after a while, we could see the activities. We could also see that the trip wasn't done in an afternoon. It will take time, but fine. Okay, how to measure? And then we read about what people had and companies had been evaluated. And I thought and thought and thought about that. And normally I thought, yeah, to be evaluated, are they going to evaluate me? And it's going to show that I'm doing a lousy job. And then I out the job. So not good. Think of something smarter, Theo. But I couldn't think of something smarter. So that tells a lot of me, I guess. But then we had this business trip to RSA in February 1 year. And I took my concerns away and actually asked for a meeting with you guys. And we decided that after that meeting that I should ask my management that we should use BSIM as our job stick for this company's future in software security.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made that decision. And I'm very proud of that because it gives the open eye to what you don't see, because sometimes you turn on a blind eye because you really don't want to see everything that's going on.
Right, but yeah. Having a third party it changes things.
Yes. So that's the story behind that. And you can guess how nervous I was the first time your guys came around and started asking questions to my team, to legal, to sourcing. Ooh, that was a nightmare.
Yeah, because it's a pretty full-on body scan, I suppose.
Yes, and I wanted it to be flat out, not through one small part of my company. It should be everyone concerned of software security. And when you look upon it, can you, Gary, mention someone in a company that isn't concerned in some sort of way of that area?
No, I always have said, you know, software security is in some sense everybody's job.
Yes.
And the hard part is getting the non-technical people to understand their impact on a product security situation. And, you know, that's, as we've discussed, probably two-thirds of the battle. Let's talk about some technical stuff. So, what did you do to think about tools and technologies that were available that you could adopt quickly in your initiative?
Yeah, we had a couple of tools already going. We also saw that there was some other tools in the marketplace. So firstly, we utilized the tools we already had, like static code analyze tools, flat out with everything on every line of code that we developed, so that we at least got that straightened out. We also looked into a competitor's tool and could try out to see, is there anything better outside in the world? And in static code analysis, it's still that there are only a couple of few tools that is working, so that was quite easy. Then we tried to look into other types of tools, but the further away we got from these basic tools, the more difficulties it became when you're working in Android.
Right.
Because we have a Linux kernel, and some of that code is so old so that no one really knows really who built it and why.
I thought it was some Scandinavian.
Yes, but I'm not sure that he does code anymore. So
and that brings us directly to the political concerns of software security. You have a really interesting position because you're on Sony's board, right?
Yep.
And so I'm interested to know what Sony's board thinks about software security or what they know about software security and how that helps or hinders.
I think that they know quite a lot. It is, of course, not normally and very, very rarely a topic of the board.
Yep.
And if it would have been, I would have been fired because then I wouldn't have done my job correctly. So that's easy enough to answer.
Don't be the red button, right?
Exactly. But we have a communication channel from my office to management when we have incidents, as we call them. So, and in Android world, as you might understand, there is incidents more or less daily nowadays. And we try to keep management informed in an incident handling process. And all top management has personally asked me to make sure that they are on the list of communication.
Mm-hmm.
And also external global communication, as we call them, press related and all the way up to Sony management, our owners.
So they have some understanding of the importance of product security, obviously.
Yeah, because they sort of see the war. Some of the things could go into our owners, possibly into music or into film industry or whatever, because the handset, the mobile phone of today, is a laptop. So you can look at music, you can look at television, you can look at videos, you can read your emails and whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, with that at your hands, there is always something that could go wrong.
Right. We'll be right back after this message. This is Gary McGraw, your host for the Silver Bullet Security Podcast. If you like what you're hearing here, you should check out my monthly security column published by Search Security and Information Security Magazine. You can find the most recent column at searchsecurity.com/McGraw. All of my writings are collected on my webpage at www.sigital.com/gem/writings. Thanks for listening. I want to talk to you a little bit about cultural challenges that come with working with dev teams from Lund, Sweden, from Beijing and Tokyo, kind of spread around. Surely there must be some different cultural aspects of the way even developers approach their job in these cultures.
Oh, yes. It varies very much from one country to another country, that's for sure. And you can't change culture because it's the culture of a nation, it's the culture of an individual. So what we are trying to do is to understand the culture and the thinking and adopt our processes and way of working to that. So what we have a minimum basic thing that goes everywhere, but then how to adopt and how to fix things is a bit different in process and in handling ways in the different countries.
Mm-hmm. So you sort of adjust the scheme according to the local situation.
Yeah, if you try to make me an American, I would be a strange American, but as a Swedish guy, I'm still perfect.
So. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, so you should change the nature of a human. You can encourage them. But you can't change. You should take the best out of everyone.
Right. So let's change channels a little bit. I'm sure that you have more than a handful of vendors at Sony Mobile. Tell me about vendor management and software security.
Yeah, that is becoming more and more important, of course, as the list, as you say, gets longer and longer. As we are expanding business from cell phones to you name it, in the future. And that, of course, means that we need to have a controlled situation of all of that in all aspects. So, yes, sometimes it seems like I have to rebuild the Sony group, but hopefully I don't have in the real world, because if you... Well, the picture is extremely big. Mm-hmm. But if you look upon it from the other angle, quite clear that everyone else in our business is going through the same process.
Right.
So the same vendor to us is a vendor to someone else.
And they're hearing it from everyone, so they're beginning to step up, you think?
Yes, I see a clear shift that in many of them they say, "Oh yeah, another one. Okay. Yep. Fine."
Well, that's good because, you know, back maybe even 5 years ago, you would say, how are you guys handling software security? And they'd look at you like a cow looks at a new gate in the field.
Yes.
Very surprised.
Yes, and that's not the case. I have just went out from a call just previous to talking to you, and I was stunned by surprise because, oh, yeah, we already know about that, and we have already done a process for this. So if it's good enough for you guys, and... This was someone from the Far East, and I thought, Eureka, they have already done it. Great. I don't have to do anything more than say, yeah, keep on continuing like that, and I'm happy.
So what impact does the app model on Android have on vendor management? Does that make it more difficult?
That's not my most concern, because that is still controlled mm-hmm. area in some senses. Of course, there are dangerous things in that, too. But I'm more concerned with all the developers that are building things into products.
Got it.
They have a longer understanding story, and they have much more privilege into the system. So that's my take on it. Of course, I'd like to have better control in that area, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I take.
But that's not number one right now, the app models.
No, that's not number one for me.
That's important to understand. I think that most people in computer security misunderstand that.
Mm.
you know, when you're talking about mobile. So it's a good thing. Good thing to emphasize.
If you ask a CEO, what does he see? He sees all these apps on the internet and say, "Oh, scary."
Right.
That's understandable because he is not into the code itself.
Right.
It's not his job, but he downloads apps and thinks, "Oh, if this app says it's my bank and it isn't, it's going to steal my money."
Right.
And he's of course correct in that, but there are control mechanisms of that in the area. But if someone gets into the inside, well, how do you handle that?
Yeah, different game. So let's talk about Android a little bit. Let's talk about speed and market churn and open source platforms and agile methodologies. I guess all these things make your job way easier, huh?
Absolutely. We get 20 million lines of new code from Android 2 times a year on top of the existing ones. We add on 5, 10, 15 new products on that baseline of code and add on new features, tens, hundreds, thousands of features depending on marketplace and customer, do them in 80 languages and sell them in more than 100 countries. So of course it makes life easy.
Nothing like speed. So this open source...
And the lifetime of that product is 12 months.
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about. So consumer products kind of come and go in the blink of an eye, and yet they also last forever. I'm sure that you get people calling up for support for some sort of ancient device that's maybe even 2 years old.
Oh, yes.
How do you deal with that?
Yes, we have to deal with it because that is legal requirements. And so we actually upgrade software on phones that we don't sell anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you can understand how many versions we try to upgrade with incident handling a year.
I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. So I guess the other thing about the speed of the market is that on the net and in the current situation, things can go south really fast, even especially with a security incident of some sort. Does that make software security even more important? Is that a factor that you guys think about?
Yes, we have to be more and more precise in what we do. We have to be very clear on the consequence of what we allow and what we not allow, of course. Still, I want to keep out of the line of being that guy who says no to everything.
Right.
So we are increasing the workforce and the number of people in my team gradually because of the speed and the actual number of things that we have to handle.
Mm-hmm.
So the company is very aware of that this is important, that it could, this is business improvement and it could save us from having a horrendous story in media.
Right, right. So I guess, the last question on the technical front, you know, what is the biggest challenge for you? It sounds like you have a pretty ideal political situation and your experience base is really helpful and you have a set of developers that are generally speaking want to learn the right thing. Pace seems to be a challenge, but what's the biggest thing that worries you now about software security and keeping the initiative momentum that you've built so far going?
I think that the biggest challenge is that everything gets integrated. So your phone book is integrated with your GPS, which is integrated with some video streaming that you want to do, which is also integrated with some of your friend finders and whatever it is. And all of that is communicating within the product and with other products, and possibly with a cloud-based server and a couple of different providers. There is a lot of security concerns regarding that and also privacy concerns.
Right.
So the more integration we have, which is fun for the user, and you can't live without it after a while,
mm-hmm.
but to make sure that that is good enough from every angle, or a little bit better than good enough. Mm-hmm. That is my worst concern right now.
Yeah. I mean, that differs too between iOS and Android. If you think about the development model, the way that you communicate between processes and even sections of the operating system differs in Android than it does from Apple's iOS model. And it allows really for more cool things to happen, but also gives you a little bit less control as a developer. That's my understanding.
Yeah, and we want to be seen as the best company in software security in Android. That is what my management always tells me. Are we still number one, Peo? And if not, why are you not fixing it?
Right. Well, congratulations on that.
Yeah. Oh, well, it makes me sleepless some nights.
So earlier in the podcast, you said that you're a perfect Swede, but not a very would be an interesting or weird American. I can't remember the exact term you used. So mm-hmm. I figured, you know, the last question, we should just throw you a curveball and ask you to comment on the upcoming U.S. elections, which happen in 3 weeks. What do you think?
It's very fascinating, and we from Sweden really don't understand much of it, but it seems like to be an even fight, so I hope that the best suitable guy for you is elected, and that becomes a really good guy for us too.
You've had way too much media training. Come on, Peo.
No, you won't get anything more than that. And yes, I have had a lot of media training. Remember,
well,
I'm a board member of Sony.
Exactly. Well, thanks very much. This has been fun.
Great. Thank you.
This has been a Silver Bullet Security Podcast with Gary McGraw. Silver Bullet is co-sponsored by Sigital and IEEE Security and Privacy Magazine and syndicated by Search Security. The September-October issue of IEEE S&P is a special issue on electronic voting security. Ever wonder about the security of your voting machines? See www.computer.org/security for more. Show links, notes, and an online discussion can be found on the Silver Bullet webpage at www.sigital.com/silverbullet. This is Gary McGraw.